Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem ersten Podcast, den wir vom Lot aus veröffentlichen. Herzlich willkommen zu Hashtag A Lot To Talk About. Wir werden euch in diesem Podcast mitnehmen ins Lot und durch Gespräche, Einblicke, Hintergründe und vor allem auch Kontext geben zu diesen verschiedenen Formaten, die wir machen. Stellt euch vor, wir sitzen jetzt mit ganz vielen verschiedenen spannenden Menschen im Lot in der Mitte um einen runden Tisch und hören alle gemeinsam, was diese verschiedenen Gäste, Gästinnen mit ihren unterschiedlichen Perspektiven zu einem Thema zu sagen haben.
In this edition we will talk about Buto, the dance of darkness. So, if you have never ever heard about Buto, or also if you are a big fan of Buto, this talk might be particularly interesting for you. We started from the point of asking ourselves how to cope with the darkness surrounding us in these times where a lot of us feel shocked or immobile, even petrified by the events happening right now. And to look at Buto from a point of view how it can make us active again and how we can dance with the darkness, play with it and come back into our own action field of doing stuff. And for this talk we have really amazing international guests from the Buto scene, from two different directions of Buto. We have of course our co-producer William Lopez here, and we have an expert from the field of ritual and performance art. So if you want to know if you should go to therapy or rather interest yourself in Buto, please keep listening and have fun.
Yeah, maybe you can come closer. And one
just
empty chair.
With the cable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, to talk about Buto and what is Buto, we have like, I don't know if I can use the name stars to talk about it, because when we have this term of stars, we start to work in a path that maybe is not Buto, but we have here Akihito Ishikara. If I put Ichihara, that is part of Sankaijuku group, that I could see this group as a one of the main Buto groups, and not just Buto group, but dance group of the last 40 years of the avant-garde art and contemporary art. Why I say this? Because this group was part of the main festivals in the world during these 40 years, crossing so many different countries, bringing this art in the avant-garde concept and place. So a big pleasure and honor to have Ichi here with us to talk about Buto. No? We have this place.
Thank you.
And also we have here Yumi Umiyumare, that was part of Dairakudakan, that is the first Buto group of the history, created by Hatsumi Hishikata.
Dairakudakan was created by Maro Akashi.
But that was working, had been working with
Hishikata,
that is one of the main creators of Buto dance. Yeah, so here we have, from my point of view, we have the two main Buto groups of the history, no, to talk about Buto. And of course, from this place, developing their own work, you know, and then we were talking about the development of Buto also. And to continue this introduction.
Yes, I'm really happy to introduce Elisabeth von
Samsonov. So we not only have dancers here, but also experts from other fields. Elisabeth from Samsonov has studied philosophy and art and is really here happy that she could come and join us to give also scientific and philosophical background. She has a lot of experience in the field of artistic research and is an expert in ritual performance. And since Bhutto is also strongly connected to both ritual and performance, I think it will be really interesting to exchange about it. So welcome also Elisabeth von Samsonov. I can introduce also myself. My name is Hans Christian. I work as a theater director, mainly, as well as artistic researcher. And I'm co-producer of this Bhutto Festival.
And I'm Will Lopez. I'm from Brazil, now based in Vienna. I'm Bhutto dancer, I'm actor, performer, theater director, and producer of the Vienna Hybrid Bhutto Vienna Art Festival. I have been studying Bhutto since 30 years, more or less, nearby. And let's talk about what is Bhutto, our first meeting with Bhutto.
Yes, I thought a nice way to get to know to you would be what was your first encounter with Bhutto. I can start maybe this round. It was not so long ago, 3.5 years, and our first encounter with Will in our format, which is called Mosaic, where artists could bring their unfinished work in order to get feedback or to have exchange upon. And I heard of Bhutto, of course, many times when I was studying theater, but to really saw it or to get to know somebody who danced Bhutto, this was the first encounter, and it was really thrilling for me. And watching these movies we have seen, I realized also again why I fell in love with Bhutto, why is I feel so strongly connected or thrilled by Bhutto, because all these topics of darkness and fear and death and all these topics which normally in society are so mainly negatively connotated, and Bhutto become a power where you can transform from. And this was really thrilling for me to get to know. So this was my first encounter with Bhutto. Maybe Yumi, you want to tell us about your first?
When I was little, I had a classical ballet, and when I was nine, and then I was doing always that kind of dance, but I wasn't really into it. But my understanding about dance was classical ballet. But when I first came to Tokyo or Kyoto, I saw Bhutto. Maybe one of the performance was Semimaru-san, I think, from Sankaijuku. Then I thought, wow. Then after that, Rakudakan or Sankaijuku, and then I just like, what's going on? This dance concept I have before from a classical dance teacher. And I went to start going to the workshop of Bhutto, and then again, exactly opposite from the classical ballet teacher to do. They are just twisting their body and then doing opposite and contorted kind of body. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was kind of get scared, but at the same time, very, very excited. So that was my beginning of scared. In Japanese, we call kwaimono mitasa. I want to see the scary thing. Mm-hmm. So that's what I started doing. And then I went to the company called Bhutto Darakudakan, and that company went to tour to Australia. So then journey never end. 35 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Elizabeth?
I remember that I saw a Bhutto presentation in Munich, according to my age, it's quite a long time ago. It was in 1980, and it was such a great impact on the whole city and the art scene of the city. I remember it was really very, very strong, because nobody of us had ever seen something similar. And of course, maybe the first impression was very exoticizing. Mm-hmm. There's a very different form of language, like a foreign language of the body that you see. Mm-hmm. The aesthetics was so different. Of course, in a way, we felt also attracted, because we felt that the the artistic performance of the time was trying to develop something that's maybe similar, mm. but has another linguistics, let's put it like this. So the expressive side of it was so interesting for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and later I learned that the company that was founded quite early in France was regularly performing in one of the most important, like, avant-garde psychiatric institutions of the time, mm-hmm. In François Toscaillès and Guattari's, I know, yeah, or later Jean Houry's and Félix Guattari's La Borde. So because they were very interested in the neurodiversity of movement, if you put it like this. So what would be the expression of an autistic child, for example? So this is really interesting. Like Fernand Deligny, who was the cameraman of this institution of the time, and producing these wonderful films following like an autistic child moving in nature or in the surroundings of the institution, mm-hmm. and looking totally differently at water, grass, air. Mm-hmm. So this was very, very attractive. And so it was also like a productive space. Psychiatry was a psychiatric institution, mm-hmm. if it was avant-garde like this. Mm-hmm. One was a production space of the arts, of course, also in finding out what is human and what would be a non, how to say, imposed expression and a non-culturally exposed disciplinary expression of the body as mm-hmm. such. And it had, of course, a lot to do with the reworking of the trauma. Mm. I think what attracted me most in Bhutto was the idea that it's a form of coming to terms with trauma, and the trauma is so general, you know, all the bodies are traumatized in Western culture, all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is like a rule, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. so, you know, you have to find an expression that is truthful mm-hmm. and really goes down to a sort of origin which is like bottomless or mm. maybe difficult to find.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, I was in my university in 1997, and I lost a class and could not enter, something like this. And I was walking around in this university, and there was a class that time to time I like to follow this class to see. And in this day, I was like trying to find something, and then I put my head inside this class, and there was a movie, and this movie was had the image of a hanged body through the feet in a bridge in Venice, and this image was so powerful for me that I could not forget this anymore, and I was just entering inside this class. And yeah, since this moment, I could not stop anymore with Bhutto. In that moment, 27 years ago, there was not any book inside the library of the university, no internet, nobody knew about Bhutto and what to do. So the unique possibility that I found that moment was to enter in the internet between midnight and 6 p.m. a.m. because the internet was paid by minute and by telephone, and during midnight and 6 was free. You could pay just 1 minute and use it during long time. And I was searching for pictures. And the picture in that moment, I don't know if you took this moment, was not like click in a picture and appear picture. It's like 1 millimeter, toot, toot, toot. And one picture was like 5 minutes, I don't know, to open. And this was so great for me because each picture, I was studying each millimeter of that movement, of just this. And then the hand, like 3 minutes to see one hand, you know. And it was a really, really a deep study.
Already Bhutto dance.
Exactly, exactly. I was very lucky in this way. So after that, I found the first Bhutto dancer to Brazilian Bhutto dancer to study with Kazuono Sensei in Japan, and I was following here, and then Atsushi Takenoshi, and now trying to study also Sankajuku group, and yes, after near 30 years. I just understood that all of these pictures that I saw and that I was collecting was from Sankajuku group. And when I recognized this, I said, what? I need to go to Japan to study with this group. And I was there in August. I went to study with them in Italy, beginning of the year. And then in August, I went to Japan. And this, from this meeting came the invitation to come to bring Ichi to this festival. And I invite you.
Me? I don't remember exactly how old I was. I saw some human-like with white color. Actually, it was a human body. I saw it on TV and moving a very weird. Actually, it was Bhutto, but even I didn't know the word Bhutto or who are they, but it was really, really a big impact for me. And it was not just weird, I felt something like some sympathy, anyway, familiar with them. Mm-hmm. I want to see more. Mm-hmm. And they're moving, they looks like fish or something. So I want to see more. Actually, it was the first experience for me, and I didn't know the word Bhutto, but it was Bhutto. Even I don't remember how old I was. After that, when I was in senior high school, I started to do activity of theater, drama, and then also still, I have in my brain, I had a big image of that white people. Actually, I knew that name. It was a Bhutto, and that group was Sankaijuku. And I also realized that the dancer's name, Amagatsu and Semimaru. And I started to follow them. And after finishing this senior high school, before I went to the university in Japan, I stayed in Melbourne, Australia for 2 years. And during staying in Melbourne, I have been a lot of theaters, performing arts, and not only the theater performing arts, like film and photography. And anyway, I try to get the experience a lot as an artistic activity. And I have been meeting Bhutto a lot in Melbourne on TV and or in exhibition or lobby in the theater, there was a photo exhibition of the Buddha. And also, I saw Sankaijuku a lot, and I saw also Dairakudokan, other groups. Mm-hmm. And still, so the image of Buddha is more getting bigger inside of me. And also, it was in Melbourne, so I think at that time I was trying to do something without word or without language, I think. And I was very interested in dance, or not just theater or drama. I was really interested in dance or contemporary dance, modern dance, ballet, and also Buddha. And after staying in Australia, I went to university, and my major was theater arts. But I also tried to move to join the Buddha activity a lot. It was really a lot. So I've met a lot of Buddha people, very historical people or some companies a lot, and I went through those Buddha community or Buddha society. And during this process, I met, Sankaijuku people, and I was recruited from Sankaijuku when I was in university, and I joined at the opera project directed by Ushio Amagatsu as a performer, not a singer. And after that, soon I joined to Sankaijuku, and it was I think it was the next step to going through the Buddha experience. After joining Sankaijuku, I think I have to do as a professional Buddha dance. It means not just dancers, totally we need to be a crew of the world tour company members. We are doing a lot of things, as you know. So, not just dancing on the stage, we are doing everything. Mm-hmm. Or we need to make a stage set also. And also, I designed some stage set of the Sankaijuku stage. And sometimes I helped the costume design or costume making, and also
Will told me that you do everything in the company yourself, from stage design and costume and lights, not only the dancing, right?
Yes. So I think Sankaijuku is very small company. I mean, it was the number of the people. Minimum we are moving 9 or, and now about 10 or 11, include stage manager, sound technician, lighting technician, and that's all, maybe. 7 dancers or 8 dancers. So we dancers are doing all the things. So it's very good to move around the world. We are just very, very minimum group. So I think, I have been in Sankaijuku, and I learned a lot as a whole artistic activity. I have been thinking about the Buddha, but I stopped too much thinking.
Maybe we can try to think a little bit together. Thank you very much.
And I need
for sharing
experience. So I need to think about more. But before think about that, so I need to move more than Sankaju. So I made this small troop with Saya and Natsuki, and we are trying to turn around the world more than Sankaiju, and we are trying to connect to the world, another world, with dance. And we also we do not insist the word Buto anymore as a dance. This is the next step over me. Mm-hmm. And this is my story. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this next step about Buto is already a big question. Yesterday we had a meeting with curators. We were more or less 10 curators around the world from different continents. And to understand the question, what is Buto, and to understand what is Buto and what is Buto now, in this moment, is a big topic for all of us. Maybe we could continue with this next.
We can try. I mean, the question is so big. We can only for this question we can spend the full evening, I guess. But let's try to think together about this word. We have asked our audience what Buto is. Of course, doing this festival, we get often asked from people who have never heard from Buto, and then it's always not so easy to give an answer which is satisfying. Also, the answer can change every day, I guess, depending on what you do. We have some really interesting answers here from our audience. Maybe I can connect, I don't know if this is from you, Elizabeth, but maybe I can connect this to you, but because you were telling about this psychiatric institution where Buto was also connected. So somebody wrote here, what is Buto post-traumatic performance art? So this is something that really interests me, because when I was connected to the world of Buto, I saw also this possibility to transform these topics of pain and anxiety, anger, fear, weakness, like they talked in the movie, not a dance of strength, but a dance of weakness, to transform it, or to use Buto maybe as a way to deal with these problems. And I think this is really up to the time where we live now. So we are living in dark times at the moment, and the time's getting darker. So me personally, I always see Buto or experience it as a way to deal with this darkness. So maybe you can tell us more about that connection you heard from the psychiatric institutions or
This is interesting, because I think any form of dance is related somehow to affect or thinks about how to express feeling or condition of an individual. You know, like the body has to speak. And I think there's really something like a strict line dividing the fields of dance art in history, and this is 1945, of course. I think after the Second World War, some regimes, the bodily regimes, have totally changed because of the impact, the collective impact of trauma, and it needed to be reworked. And so it was not only about how to find a direct line to expression, but how to metabolize the sorrow, you know, the depression, the paralyzation even of the bodies, you know, the traumatic paralyzation. Mm-hmm. So of course it would end up in a totally different form of grammar then. And what's so interesting for me in Buto is also because the West was not able to develop this type of school you know, in working the trauma. Not at all. They had the actionism, they were in Vienna, you know, actionism was very important, but it was never a school. So it was some how to say, individual explosions, which went out, returned very well.
We also have the word explosion here.
Yeah. But in a way, it did not develop into a school or into an attitude, an artistic attitude, which is more generally said attitude, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with the Western relationship with the spiritual, because the Western could not adopt. I mean, actionism is totally anti-spiritual, as you know. But Buddha is spiritual in my perception. You know, it has a spiritual center. And so this is the divide already, you know. If you don't have a spiritual center and you work on around the center, which might be void, you know, but still you move around it, or you are attracted by its gravity, you know, by the gravity, gravitational field of the void can also, you know, direct movement or the being in the world, and this was missing somehow in the in the West. So it couldn't be. I think anyway, the pretext of actionism was very important for the development of art, performance art, until now for the West. But it had no spiritual, has no spiritual center.
I understand.
So individuals do it spiritually, maybe, you know, but there's nothing like a school or like, you know.
Can you remember this impact when Buddha came to Western art scene or contemporary dance scene? How it changed, or what the impact was here in Central Europe?
Yeah, I mean, so I can remember the 80s when Buddha came to Europe. And I saw it in saw Buddha performances, but I'm so sorry, I cannot remember the company's name. You know, I was looking at it, but I couldn't find.
Probably
at that time was not, maybe not in the program was not in internet, you know. But I can remember that we were also fascinated, because it was, so for the West, it was also a form of remembering the one, not only one's not only trauma, but also the loss. You know, that we are unable to redevelop something like a spiritual policy or in the arts. And still now, in the West, it's sometimes even as if the non-spiritual and the art would be identified, you know, so that it's like a critical attitude, so that the that you assume that maybe in the spiritual there could also be something like an ideological portion, and this is why you give away totally, you know. This is a big problem, of course, and this is why I liked it so much, that like Jean Houry or Fernand Deligny were so wise to integrate the Buddha practice somehow into the psychiatric practice, or in even in the daily life of the people, you know, and to study, you know, how these bodies of the suffering, you know, autonomize. This is was the idea, you know,
to become
the form like an
again.
Automatization, and that the creation, the creation is fully psychic.
Can you relate to this?
Yes, I'm because I've been doing, been Melbourne, Australia, doing a more hybrid style of Buddhas and stuff. But I work a lot also people in the theater who has a trauma, like asylum seekers or refugee people, and also worked with the people who had a trafficked in the sex industry. So like when I was working as a theater choreographer, I was just a little bit more naive, like 15 years ago. And you're just in front of the people who has actually, person was shot in front of, you know, their parents was shot in front of you, or literally sex trafficked and being trafficked and stuck in Sydney for, and have to sleep with 700 people unless you cannot get some visa. You know, like it's a real true story. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working, I just doing kind of dance, but it's like a, it's not like even concept of the Buto dance or anything, but because it's called Dance of Darkness, and then real life itself is so dark. So I just sort of be with their darkness, and we just have to dance with their darkness, remind themselves of how, when you feel when you're in a, locked in a Sydney, you know. But then she just kind of start panicking. But then it's not psychotherapy either, but we're just trying to express, and that's a fine line. And we got other specialists in the room as well, because it's a pretty tricky area. So those things, I found like Buto has got a lot of incredible role to play. Again, I'm not separating the theater and a certain therapy. I don't want to aim for the therapy, but it's definitely going through the therapeutic process. And sometimes we joke about in Australia too, like people come to Buto class for, oh, it's cheaper than psychotherapy. So, you know, so it is, because it is, because people,
totally.
Yeah, I said, oh, they express it, and my friend said, oh, you got to come to Buto class, it's cheaper. So in that sense of, for me, it's like active role to be played. It's not just darkness in the 70s, talk about 60s and 50s of Dance of Darkness. It's different from what we have experiencing now. And for me, that's quite a meaningful role to be contribute to. Let's just make it work somehow. Yeah, so it is interesting territory. I don't know exactly the answer yet. And also disability people and all the people who haven't, you know. So, yeah, I mean, my brother was disabled and he passed away too. And I just been through that real experience. And real experience is not just theory. So like Uchi-san saying, we can't talk about it and you verbalize and articulate in the words, but this actually experience.
So you would say Buddha is also a way of finding words to things you cannot speak about, or to
just thinking like not words, but like as you say, like pure psychic things. So like, that's also like a, you know, my brother was just, he was just something, the weird movement. I said, oh. You know, so communication is not necessarily verbal, and plus speaking other languages and always has got some sort of filters through the languages and concept, but it's actually beyond that. So for me, it's more exciting to non-categorize somehow.
Yeah, I think in this point we are already arriving the place that why Buto,
the why,
no?
Yeah,
that is totally
same.
and naturally is coming, no? And this idea to express, possibility to express trauma, to deal with it. I remember first story about Atsushi-san, my teacher, master, told us about a little boy that lost the family, the whole family in Japan. And he lost completely the possibility to speak and to move, was just stopped in shock, and the people was with him in the art therapy and trying to work with him, and he was completely nothing until the moment where someone gave him some paper and color to paint, and he, after many work, he started to paint black piece of paper, and then start to paint more and more and more and bigger paper and bigger paper, and painting this completely black, until to paint many, he started to paint himself this black. And after this process of painting many paper and black, he was able to cry or to start to speak. So what to say about this? It's impossible to explain this situation, but all of us, we can feel it and we understand it without words, this situation. No? So I think, of course, the art give us this possibility to express things that's not possible to express by words. No? And I think Buto has, as Elizabeth told us, a methodology or a school, a process or a training where you can dive on it and you can learn how to do that. no? And to express these deep layers of the human being in his personal traumas, in a collective traumas, and in the traumas of the human being, this planet, we could also visit. And for me, one of the biggest problem of the contemporary art is when the contemporary art just work with aesthetic, but not with the meaning, with the feeling, with the power of the symbol of the art, you know, the power of connection, and to talk about this, but just to express about color or material, just aesthetic, you know? And for me, this is my why, you know, to connect the power of the symbol, the power of the image, or express this, but in an avant-garde place, not just in a place of to reproduce what was, but thinking in front, no, as it was this last movie that we saw. So that moment was really an avant-garde thought, trying to go in front, but not repeat what was. No? And for me, is a little bit this why that arrives for me. But I would be happy also to hear from you why Bhutto in this field. How you feel, Ichi?
Yes. Each people has a very, very individual background. I think a lot of Bhutto people sometimes insist very, very individual experience, or sometimes the way with very grotesque expressing, or sometimes very, very making some impact with uncomfortableness for the next person sometimes. Actually, sometimes I had some opinion. Somebody says, I had a very big trauma from watching the Bhutto or taking a workshop of Bhutto. I think sometimes it's really, really too much individual things. I mean, sometimes too much individual is disturbing other individual. I think that's true. But I never insisted about this is the problem of Bhutto. This is the one. This is one point from the view outside, you know. By the way, for example, I need to teach a choreograph with a young dancer of Sankaijuku. This is also the situation of Bhutto, real Bhutto. For example, most important thing is dance. That's simply true. So we need to dance on the stage as a dancers, and we also have a choreograph, and sometimes we will have a younger dancers or new dancers, or sometimes we make a changing the position, switching the position, and also we need to share the information of the choreograph. It means we need to share the image, basic image. This is very important for the Bhutto, right? But not only this is not only Bhutto, for the dance, totally whole, for the whole performing arts. So, also we have a lot of schedules, but sometimes we do not have enough time to share the information of the stage work. But anyway, most important thing at this situation, we need to tell about the background of this choreograph or dancing. Anyway, I try to share the image. This is a fish. This is a fish. You are in the water. Okay. Never forget this. So, this, I think this, it's also the my situation or Sankajuku's situation. And also, so what I want to talk is Buto is not always very too much individual things. Buto can be shared with people or other artists or also with audience or public people. When I was a child, I saw it on TV. Oh, what these white people looks like a fish. It was. That's true. So, I realized that after Sankajuku dances, I was. I can, or we can, send the image of a fish, or sending the image of water, or the to the audience, even the children looking the TV. So maybe dance can share with the image of not just the choreograph, the image of a whole sequence or image of a body. We can share the old possibility with the audience or with the people or outside the people outside of Buto. I think we have a possibility to connect to outside world with sharing the image. This is my concept.
I think we are already arriving the third point, it is how. Because of course there is Buto. But Buto in the first moment of this tree, we have Kazuono, we have Tatsumi Hijikata. And we have two different styles and two different possibilities. Both is Buto. And from these two became many, many. No, I think Sankajuku has a very specific way of Buto. And if you ask for Atsushi, it will be completely different. If I ask you, completely different. And can be completely different for each one of us. I think these many styles, for example, this first movie, the guy said about the sub body, no? Sub body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is one style of Buto. So many ways, and of course, if we start to say this is Buto, this is not Buto, but Buto can be this and this and this, and that there are many possibilities. And in these many possibilities, for me as a, and then sharing this my point of view of how is. For example, in Vienna, we have a situation that is very clear. People that knows Buto from the 80s, when I say I'm Buto dancer, they say, "Whoa, but Buto, this is old. This is from something from the 80s, from the 90s." And then what I'm trying to do in this festival is to put Buto in the contemporary art field. So how to put this, you know, and how to connect this dance, this place, to our questions now, or our moment now. So what do we need to do? How? So, and then maybe this is a moment where we open to think,
yes, please,
for everyone what to do in front of this contemporary art field that is working with market and aesthetic, money and aesthetic, and we lost this possibility to dive a little bit deeper in the human being. What to do? What to do? I think you have a clear question to enter in this third topic. No.
How to deal with Buddha now?
Yeah. What to do with it? Don't do it.
For example, we sangka yoku. For example, theater festival, also dance festival, mm-hmm. or sometimes the art festival. For example, Venezia Biennale, something like that. So, actually, we can see Buto is as a dance or widely performing arts. I mean, so we think about Buto is also dance or widely performing arts, mm-hmm. or not always too much insisting the Buto world. Sometimes, you know, sometimes Buto people insist Buto is opposite to dance, or, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So Buto is not dance. That's sometimes this is a very, it makes a very small world. Mm-hmm. So we need to across this border. So we need to go widely. So we need to expand our world. I mean, so I never insist the world of Buto. But still I have on my back, I have a lot of big Buto world. I know, I realize that, but I never insist the Buto is something like a propaganda, yeah. not anymore propaganda. So we need to connect to the outside of the Buto. I mean, mm-hmm. we need to across this border. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm moving as well. So these two ladies, Saya and Natsuki, is from the very, very skilled Western dance with dance techniques, ballet, modern dance, contemporary dance. But I ask them, please work with me because I need to be hybrid. You know? I need to connect with the Western style dance world. Actually, I offered from some order from the other country as a choreographer for National Ballet or National Contemporary Dance Company. It's not anymore Buto. Mm-hmm. It's also the dance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe
it's not so easy also here in Vienna when you, for example, organize a festival and want to apply for money. You try the theater department and then the theater department says, no, it's not theater. You try at the dance department. Now maybe go to the theater department. Yeah. So, yes, please join the chair if you'd like. You can also leave the chair.
Yeah, because I have a question to this, because I'm also coming, like, I'm also dancing contemporary dance. And when you look at, like, at the history or something, you can clearly, there are some movements in the 80s, which were in the 80s, and then in the 90s, and so it developed somehow, or it got some changes. At the moment it's really in, especially, sport clothes, and a lot of black, and also, like, a lot of repetition, or... So there are some things that are always like in, and so you see a performance and then sometimes you say like, oh, that was boring because that was some our movements they used to have in the 90s or something like this, you know? And it's nothing new. So I was wondering if Buto also changed kind of movements until now from the 60s or where it was founded? Or if it always stayed somehow the same because it's more in a state of feeling or like, yeah.
Would you like to?
Well, it's probably I'm not living in Japan, so I can't be talking much, but I really feel they're definitely evolved, and then I even see who was I talking to? Aiko-san, that's right. Anyway, they're thinking still, I really think it's Buto even can see in a national television now, NHK, or, you know, that's why it never happened in the 70s or 60s. Mm-hmm. So now you can see in the bigger stage, and Dairakudaka and the company I used to work with, a lot of quite major sort of theaters, and quite, it's a, something a little bit shifting. I feel like really more fitted into, before it was like subversive, you can't fit it into, you can't learn from the contemporary, modern contemporary dancing band to them to perform in Hijikata-san's time. So I think the subversiveness and guerrilla kind of performance style was definitely changed and formalized and a little bit more into this sort of, I think it's sometimes a bit stale from my point of view, because it looks like an old style. They continue rather than fitted in 21st century subversive. They could have looking for our punk, but they don't stay in this situation. So I feel, really? So because I'm outside of Japan, so I feel sometimes I saw it and, oh, that's like interesting, but it's not that interesting. So I really think is that some sense of form would have changed, or form can be judged in a certain way, but I feel that kind of a certain energy was, I'm curious, how should I keep subversive? I can't be, but we have to be looking for that.
Because what I understood is also that Buto, as you told, was also a kind of rebellion against the form which was already existing. And so this rebellion is now past. So how can, the question is, how to keep Buto subversive?
Yeah,
or
and
to
also reaction itself is not the best.
Continuously, because you can't keep reacted, but because that time has a more relevancy, but now how can you keep react? But it's some sort of other punk situation or some sort of provocative situation. So that's my question. I couldn't answer you. It's evolving, definitely evolving. And it was formalized, definitely formalized. That's my opinion. I think, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I see an international movement of this new Buto now coming up. For example, there is yesterday we had a producer from Philippines, and she is diving her own culture and taking her own mythology to be danced in Buto way. So, and then you, when you see Sankaijuku repertory or dance style, that is, I cannot. I told my story with Sankaijuku, is like, wow, it's so beautiful and so incredible. And if you take this dancer in Philippines, you see completely different movement and the style. I think we have, for example, I use capoeira in my Buto. For some people, maybe they will say, no, but this is not Buto. This is, no. But this is how the Buto started to work in my body. With Buto, I could discover my Negro blood. And nobody can recognize me as a Negro guy because my skin is no. But with Buto, I discovered this. And when I start to move, I feel capoeira, I feel samba, I feel my culture, no, my own culture, and not Japanese. But I go to Japan to study with them to understand how is this deep work. So I think naturally is coming. Different layers and expressions of the same flow.
And you also told me about curators that combine Buto with neuroscience or Buto with robotics. So also in this hybrid aspect, there's a big chance of development or of pushing or guiding Buto into other forms and so then Buto is, for me, then Buto would become less a genre or a fixed thing, but more like a glass or a vision or a tool that you can take on to research.
Yeah,
I would say as an artistic researcher, you can use Buto also as a tool to research in combination, like a chemical reaction. Yeah, you can take fine arts or robotics and then make an explosion with Buto and see.
Just to give a scientific study, an artistic and scientific study. Artists are now my bad. I will not know her name, but artist from Vienna, a multimedia artist. She took a sound and put a filter to destroy this sound. And then she was working with neuroscientists also, and the unique way to return this music as it was in the beginning was to be in a kind of stage of mind, brainwave studies. So nobody could use this to put this music as it was. You understand what I mean? Because my English is not so. So nobody could do this. And she was in a dance festival, art festival, presenting her work. And then came up, maybe it was them, a group of Buto dancers. They said, we would like to try. And then they put this and put the music again. Because to put this music in the place as it was, the person should arrive in a very specific brainwave work, kind of meditation stage. So all of them could do. And she was very surprised. What is Buto? What does these people do? And then now we have a sequence of, for example, Vangeline in US, she's working with brainwaves and Buto dance studies. Buto dance and brain wave studies, and in Spain we have Lucia, also studying this. So there is a big field to be explored that put Buto in the future, not in the past. Just to give a example of these possibilities of studies.
Can I ask another question? But this is fitting here quite well. Would you say? Is it even possible for robots to dance Buto, or does it need a human being to dance Buto? Could it be possible? Because in other dance forms, it's possible.
A traumatized robot, maybe.
Is that like?
Could I try?
Yeah.
I saw someone talking about artificial intelligence and human, and they said the robot will be able to do what we do just in the moment when the robot will be able to destroy himself.
To become destructive.
Yes, auto-destructive. And I think...
But it has to be programmed by somebody to do that.
Someone to program the robot, but not the artificial intelligence to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And there are some layers of expression that, I don't know. I saw a person also talking about artificial intelligence, that artificial intelligence works with a bank of information that comes from the past, but it's impossible to see the future. So, and we as a human being, we have a possibility to connect with these different perspectives. And I think Buto is, there is this famous sentence that say Buto is a dance that life and death dancing hand by hand. I see a bit difficult to a robot to dance Buto, but for sure can be programmed to do a very beautiful dance, for sure.
And certain sort of form way you can copy, but certain like improv or some open judging in the moment of this incredible, like even we were in a gallery and just an incredible feeling happened on the moment, which is exactly. Never get be able to capture that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know.
This is what is for me as a theater maker is this most one of the most interesting thing about Buto is how much the dancer is in the here and the now. Because in theater and also in dance and other performative art forms, you always try to be present, of course. But you have choreography and you have maybe a text and to repeat. So then you always escape in the form or in the text,
it's
pre-written.
So
and when I see Buto, it is so strongly in the here and the now. Mm. And this is really
one thing I wanted to say. Just a couple 3 weeks ago, I was in Tokyo, and then we did have a bit of jam, kind of with the two spiritual clairvoyant person, and we two dancers and belly dancers. We just did a jam session anyway. Mm-hmm. So I did a little butoish and all kind of improv. But then some audience said, that's exactly AI cannot copy, and you're doing exactly like something, you know, those things is like a so unexpected, and a lot of things what we're doing is I'm also unexpected myself too. So she was so insisted this was exactly you should keep doing because AI cannot copy it. And I said, oh, that's interesting, I never thought about it. So maybe certain part of Buddha never can be copied by AI. That's kind of interesting, yeah. Mm.
No, maybe you can join us at the table. Well, we have a microphone here, so it's also a podcast. This is where we sit together.
Maybe I missed the sense of Buddha. Because you said that Buddha has also like it's better than therapy, or you can save money by going to Buddha instead of therapy.
No, sorry.
So my question is Buddha is not a dance, is it a mental state or
it's a nice question,
no? Actually there are a lot of people connected together. Actually, yes. But sometimes a lot of people also try to think separate. There are a lot, so it depends. It depends on the people.
I will give you an example. For example, my class. During long time, I try. My first exercise is to put to offer for the participant to arrive in a kind of state of mind. That this is meditation stage of mind. And I went to study with Sankajuku. And to put these people in this stage, I have a long process of meditation, relax your body, and you know, to guide this. And I went to study with them in Japan. And okay, let's start. So the movement is like this. And then you do like that. Okay, try for 10 minutes. So no idea of meditation or things like that, but to do what they do, you need to have this stage of mind. So when, as he said, he did a lot of Buddha. So after to train this many, many times to do perfect as they do, you really need this stage of mind because it would be a kind of meditation, I think, I believe. Maybe he disagree.
Actually, before dancing, we need to relax and concentrate without noise. This is something like... So maybe each dancer, each artist need something like a meditation by themselves to concentrate, to be clear, I think.
Also not aim to heal, but as a result to get healed, I think. That's, you know, not aim, because we not do the workshop, this is for healing. We never say that. You know, I feel as a result, oh, you get healed or something happened, transformed. Then I said, oh, that's a bonus. But I tried, I mean, my friend in Sydney said, this is not therapy. She wrote in a workshop. At least she want to, like this. They want to say not. I think like as Ichi-san said, some people are intentionally doing this dance therapy as a part of Buddha, and so they could use that as an upfront, but most Buddha workshops sometimes they didn't aim to be therapeutic, but as a result could be therapeutic, but we don't aim for it. I mean, we don't say it out loud. Or I knew it's going to heal people, and I kind of trust it. That's important for the world at the moment, I think. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's all important. I just wanted to come back to this title of hybrid Buddha, because I think anyway Buddha is a hybrid artistic practice. So it's interesting that you put it again as a title, because as far as I understood when it started, then it was about transforming also the Japanese traditional theater. It was not only about finding something totally new, mm-hmm. but revolting or reusing or reshaping something that was already known, or that was something like the discipline of the body of a culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in a way, I think this legacy is still transporting in a mm-hmm. way. So that it needs to hybridize is an ongoing mm-hmm. problem, you know, that you have to find your Buddha style in all different type of, yeah. of how to say, speeches that the body is able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it can connect it also to the West in a way,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because of course as you say, or to the South, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, direction of this of the world, and as for me, it's also interesting. Buddha is so interesting, and I think it was so producing such an impact in the West also because it is a different concept of art. It is a magic concept of art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a machinic concept of mm-hmm. art. And there's a machinic concept of the body also, mm-hmm. even a machinic concept of the mind, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence, something like a machinic concept of the intelligence,
mm.
which is nice and working and everything. And there's something like a machinic concept of the body, like you saw in the Indian dance, you know, it's mm-hmm. super machinic, or the mm-hmm. ballet, Western ballet is super machinic, the women's bodies, you know, all do the same, it's like big machinery, more or less copies the way that they want them to work also for capitalist production,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
mm-hmm.
more or less the same. So in a way, Buddha is interfering on a totally different level in mm-hmm. reaffirming explicitly or not, doesn't matter, a magic concept of art. And I think, I mean, this is what I saw also when Will was dancing for our festival, that mm-hmm. it was a magic that he was doing, actually, because he was, with his performance, he was restructuring ontology.
Mm-hmm.
So before and after was different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before he was dancing, the being was like this, was disordered, and we were a little bit distracted and confused, and we had some unclear wishes, and we had some desires and hopes, and were looking for futures. And then Will came and was dancing for the one entity, which was, of course, the crown of this space, which was the eagle. And he connected with the eagle, so what do you say, share the image, you know? We were talking about the fish, and Will was connecting with the eagle, so he incorporated the eagle, and in a way he was like an anchor, you know, anchored the entity of the eagle in the space, in a way, in such a way that the eagle appeared, which was not expected, of course, you know, the eagle appeared because... What he was saying, hello.
Rio.
<You know?
laughs>
In real, yeah.
In real, yeah. So it was flying above the scenery.
Mm.
And this is why I think we have to rethink, I mean, the West has to really do this task of rethinking the magic concept of art.
Mm.
Because through the activity of religion, it was totally bent, you know, people mm-hmm. were burned doing magic and, you know all these stories for hundreds mm-hmm. of years.
And now they're burned by logic.
And now, yeah, exactly, yeah. And so this is really a big big issue, and
mm.
in a way it's also a catastrophe that the intellectuals or the artists in a way internalized the paradigms what is the institution of the Catholic Church who was...
Die Beichte? Oder,
nee, die alle verbannt hat, die alle abgeordnet hat. Die Institution in der Kirche selber.
Freemason?
Mit P was, mit P.
Freemason?
Nein.
That's a very specific.
Nein.
Das
mit dem. It's so funny. That okay.
We can cut it in the post production of the podcast.
Yeah.
We can cut it in.
I mean.
I know what you mean.
Inquisition.
Inquisition. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the rules of Inquisition were in mm-hmm. wisdom and mm-hmm. science and everything. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we have such a problem to reconnect to concepts which would be in this state would be revolutionary and avant-garde.
Yes, and also if I can add to the current state of the here and now where we live, yeah, to connect what you said maybe with your question of Butuh being more a mindset or also a mindset than a dance, and what you said about this transforming of this transforming power. So I think we are now living really in this time where we again feel this void you described in the 80s when Butuh came and made us aware of this void, because we're having this darkness approaching us, and people tend, also myself, yeah, tend to be shocked and immobile and almost paralyzed because we don't have this maybe spiritual, maybe religious, maybe mindset to cope with this. So we are again remembered of having this void. And this is why me as a non-dancer or non-Butuh dancer, I can take inspiration from Butuh in a mindset way to dance with death or with pain or with, to get a tool back into hand, not to stay paralyzed, but to become active again. And I think this is what we are all looking for at the moment, how to be knocked, how not to stay shocked and become paralyzed, but to find means, yeah, to start dancing, no matter if you do it by dance or in your brain or with words or with the actions, yeah, but we need to, as you always say, keep dancing now, yeah, mm-hmm. as a motto also for this year's mm-hmm. edition.
Yeah.
Also on the movie or sort of short excerpt we saw, and there were one of the people saying 60s, they are such a body-oriented living, and then I think we have to go back to our body-oriented being.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter intellectualize and all that is important, and tool is such a wonderful thing. I don't deny anything about AI, but just go back to our body and feel and touch and make a mistake, because AI cannot make a mistake. So we keep making a mistake, you know, they kind of go backwards. Mm-hmm. So I just found that's kind of really have to get back to our body. Mm-hmm. It means keep moving and talk about that kind of thing, but
I think that there is something here that is when we think about our first expressions that we have not seen this planet as a human being, we will see magical expressions, you know, by images and also magic rituals in the funerals, and is magic. Our basic is magic. But we somehow forgot it. But what is interesting is to observe when all of us, we were talking about our first contact with Butuh, was like, wow, mm-hmm. I don't know what is this, but somehow I connected with this. Mm-hmm. I know that this is part of me and I want more of this. So it's like to remember who we are. And I think this is one of the powerful layer of this dance.
Yes, we would just like to put a final ending to this really nice exchange of ideas and talks and thoughts. Thank you very much. This was our Lot in Context. What is Butuh? Thank you very much for joining the talk. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing this moment in at Lot. And goodbye.
So this was it. We hope we could give you a little grasp or idea of this big world of Butuh, what it is and what it isn't, and of course these are big questions and they can change every day also for the Butuh artists themselves. But yeah, we hope you are interested, and if you want to know more, if you are curious to dive in deeper into Butuh, please feel free to reach out to us. We are probably doing this festival every year, maybe, let's see. But for sure, we have good contacts into the Butuh community, and we can tell you when the next workshop of Butuh is happening at Lot. So feel free to reach out to us, and thank you for listening.
Wenn euch dieser Talk gefallen hat, dann abonniert uns doch auf Spotify oder Apple Podcasts oder wo auch immer ihr Podcasts hört. Es werden weitere Hashtag A Lot To Talk About Podcasts folgen zu ganz verschiedenen Themen. Und wir freuen uns auch, wenn ihr uns auf Social Media folgt, wenn ihr unseren Newsletter abonniert und ja, dafür sorgt, dass alle mal wieder ins Lot kommen. Thank you.